Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're exploring the topic, when CCPD funding meets someone with solutions. In the 1980s, Fort Worth experienced double-digit increases in criminal activity and had the highest crime rate in the U.S. for 2 years straight. In 1995, the citizens of Fort Worth voted to establish a Crime Control and Prevention District, also known as CCPD. The Fort Worth Police Department states its vision is to become the safest major city in the U.S. They also state their mission is to enhance the Fort Worth PD's ability to provide quality service and to work in partnership with the community to reduce crime and to create a safe environment for all. That said, is the city partnering with the right organizations to reduce crime in Fort Worth? Tonight, we will talk with Kelvin Spencer, former Fishbowl Kingpin, who was part of the crime wave in the 1980s here in Fort Worth. He will tell us exactly what the city needs to do to bring a stop to the violent crimes in our city. With that said, let's talk Fort Worth. All right, let me check my line, and I'm still waiting on my guest. We just confirmed at 6:30. Let me see if I can try to locate him. Yeah, I'm going to give you some music for a second and see if there's possibly problems with him calling in. And give me 1 second to do this. But we just confirmed just a few minutes ago. But y'all know on a show like this, anything can happen, right? So listen, anybody who's a regular listener of Let's Talk Fort Worth, these are the kinds of shows that anything can happen on. So I'm going to give you a little music while I go and locate my guest.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares to save a world in despair? Who really cares?
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
25, it's going to be a black male in a white t-shirt.
There's far too many of you dying.
14 million more
you
Americans
know
would be uninsured next
way.
Year. This deadly mass shooting
to bring
the
love here today.
Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, pick it light. It's bad. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Okay, y'all, we just had Mr. Spencer on the line and dropped him again. We're going to try him one more time and see if we can't link this up. Let's see if we get him this time. Mr. Spencer, how are you?
I'm all right. Can you hear me? Am I on? Because I was calling from another number. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. You kind of scared me a little bit. I said, boy, these are the kind of shows.
No, I was trying to get on.
Oh, you were trying to get on?
I was trying to get on. Somebody on my phone wouldn't let me. You know, I had to go through and dial something else. I just called from another phone.
Okay, that'll work. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Spencer. For those of you all who's heard him on a previous show, Kevin basically is someone who has a story to tell if you haven't heard it before. So, Kevin, rather than me tell them about your story, tell the audience a little bit about who is Kevin Spencer and your whole story about being known in Fort Worth as the kingpin of the fishbowl.
Okay, my name is Kevin Spencer. I was born and raised in Fort Worth. And as a youth coming up, I was raised up on the South Side. And I am a father first before I'm anything. But I'm also a community, not only a community activist, but I'm hands-on community. And I was involved in Operation Fishbowl back in 2006, where the feds came in and arrested like 51 of us. And of course, they gave me the leader organizer, Kingpin charge. So I was responsible. They said I was responsible for most of the things that went on in the fishbowl. But to fast forward, I'm out now. I'm doing well, and I've changed my life. I'm reaching out to my children, the kids that looked up to me once for the negativity. Now I have them reaching out to me and looking up to me for the positives that I'm bringing to them. So that's really my story and happy. I'm well connected with the streets. When I say well connected, not on a negative level, but on a positive level, I'm trying to, you know, uplift children instead of tearing down our communities with the violence, with the drugs, with the guns. I'm uplifting them and trying to show them a better way and letting them know that we can succeed outside the negativity of the drugs and guns and violence.
Wow. Tell us the timeline on when you were considered a kingpin in Fort Worth. What was the timeline?
Well, if you guys have read my book, I do have a book out. Well, it's my book. I started hustling probably when I was like around 8 or 9.
Ooh.
You know, not to glorify it or anything, but I started to hustle when I was like 8 or 9, and I was just raised up in that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I was considered a kingpin probably from, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because we have our run in the game. You have your runs, and I probably was considered a kingpin from like 2001 to all the way up until I got busted in 2006. You have your runs, and that's why they say sometimes it's 4 years worth of ball and worth 10, 15 years of your life. It's not. I experienced the 10 or 15 years of my life after, you know, doing well in the streets for the 4 or 5 years.
So, you know, so you and you and Kevin told me something that was like blew me away. We were talking about the crime wave that, you know, Fort Worth, you know, gained that reputation for being called Murder Worth back in the 80s. And you say you were a part of that crime wave back then. So what is the difference between that crime wave then and what we see today?
Right now, that the difference between then, we were involved in a lot of the gangs and a lot of the gangs against gangs. Right now, this younger generation, they're killing without a cause. Not saying that we had a good cause or a good reason to be killing or committing violence back then, but it's like innocent people are getting hurt. It's like, you know, the stuff that just happened out there in Como. You know, a couple of those guys that just got picked up. I don't know them personally. I have knowledge of them. You know, I know that they're from the other side of town. I don't know what they did, and I hope and pray that they didn't do anything to cause the death of those people, you know, that they can get off for that. I hope they didn't. But, you know, that's the reality. If someone get killed, someone is going to have to get arrested for that, and someone's going to get charged for that. And I just, hope and pray we can stop that. We have to inform the younger generation. Some of them don't want to listen, you know, but we have to inform them. And I feel like I can bridge that gap.
I believe that because, you know, the thing is the difference between a Kevin Spencer and myself is I'm as green as they get, y'all. But when you're talking about someone who's been out there, understands the streets, can move, you know, in these circles on the street without fear, because I think everybody can't do that, you know, and I think you cannot effectively go out there and affect change unless you can move around in the streets. And I understand you don't have that fear of going out there and being amongst the gangbangers or those that are out there involved in some criminal activity.
No, these guys, and I'm not just going to say the younger guys because it's still guys my age. These guys, they're my peers. They're who I grew up with. You know, some of them looked up to me. You know, and not to glorify that, but these are my associates. These are my peers. You know how they say that you're going to be judged by a jury of your peers, young man. You're not. You're not going to be judged by a jury of your peers, young man, because. You guys are my peers, and there's no way they won't even let me get on a jury right now. So you can kill all that. When you're being judged, when you go out and do wrong to my young brothers, when they go out and do wrong, you're going to get judged by upper white class. And those are the ones that the working people, the lawyers, the doctors, the professionals, the mothers in the home, and things like that. So they already have a negative outview and a negative outlook on you. So to say that you're probably guilty, they think you're guilty from the get. So we're in a lose-lose situation right now. Go ahead.
I agree. And I think what I was telling someone or quoting a scripture earlier to someone, and I was saying, you know, the Bible says to seek wise counsel, you know, when you're in a situation in which you don't know what to do. And I think you would be considered what someone would call wise counsel in this situation because – unless we understand from someone who's been out there and can explain to us what's going on, because most of us don't understand what's driving this uptick in this violent activity. Do you have any insight as to what may be driving these young people to kill like they're killing?
They're misinformed. They're misinformed. They don't have a future to look forward to. They feel like they're living for today. If tomorrow come cool, and that's not how we should outlook on life. You know, if they feel like if they didn't get these kind of grades, or they didn't do this, or they can't achieve their goals. They can't achieve their goals because they don't have any schooling, they haven't have any training, they don't have any trade. We have to get those back into the community, not just in the school system. And I'm not even going to get started on the Fort Worth ISD and independent school district. I'm not even going to get because they have so much zero tolerance for the kids that act up. You can't just throw them away. You can't just throw them away. You can look at guys like Judge Joe Brown and cats like that. They got in trouble at a young age, but look, they wasn't part of the recidivism. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't part of that, and they went to strive and become great citizens and great men from being troubled young men. And that's what I aim to do, not just me myself, but those that I see trouble. I want to try to pick them up and dust them off, and we get on the right track together. Not just me by myself. I don't want to succeed and excel alone. I want people, you know, succeed and excel also.
You know, one thing when you see what's going on, and you know, literally every day there's a murder and sometimes multiple murders. And we saw this weekend there were 17 people shot and three of them died. Do you feel that the city has a handle on it, or do you think they don't? I mean, right, just judging from what we're seeing.
If the city has a handle on it, the handle is broken.
Oh, wow.
If the city has a handle on it, it's broken. Because the city can't have an handle on it. We don't, you know how small Fort Worth is and how mass these shootings and the violence is right now. That's really unheard of and uncalled for. And we're not going to even get on the recidivism because you and I spoke about that earlier. We're not even going to get on that because the things that the young generation is going through right now, it's like they have no hope. I want to try to give them hope. I want to give them a vision besides the vision with their hands on the bars and their head looking out the bars. I want to give them a vision where they can go travel the world and see this and do this. And, you know, they don't, you don't have to resort to the gang violence, to and not even just the gang violence, to the tearing down of our neighborhoods, things like that, because these people are going to allow us to do it. They have cameras in these neighborhoods. I'm telling my young brothers, they have cameras in these neighborhoods. They're recording whatever you do. They can come anytime. They have working in the that's getting ready to become police officers. They have them manning them cameras like 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? So they're under watch all the time. I have connections. I got a cousin that works down for the city, and he works directly with the police department. They have so many tools to use against crime, to catch us. That we're in a lose-lose situation. You can't. There's no hustle and get away like that. It's not. So I try to let them know. You know, I try to tell them no. It's not right to hustle. But if you're gonna hustle, get out the way. Once you do, get to where you're trying to go and get out the way. I'm not encouraging hustling, but let's find a way out. You know, have a strategy plan. Let's have a plan to getting out, not just a plan to continue on down that road, because believe me, it's rocky and it's bumpy.
Do you believe if the city gave somebody like you the proper funding, you could reach a lot of these young men and put them on the right track?
Better believe it. And I have my peers that I've grown up with that have experienced the things that I've experienced. And they're willing to work with me, not just on the south side of town, but the south side, north side, east side, and the west side. You know, I feel like it's a tragedy that every fourth we have to go through the situation that we went through in Como. Like last year, it was a shooting. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't any deaths, I don't think, last year, but it was a shooting. We shouldn't have that. We have the elders that's in that west side of Lake Como community that looks forward to the July 3rd and the July 4th, to the parade and the block party prior to the parade. We shouldn't deprive them of that. They've owned their right. They've been there all their life. And they look forward to this. So let's not dampen that. Let's get together as older guys in the community, and I have people that's with me that will go and reach out to these youth that'll speak with these youth, that'll try to get down to the problem. If we can solve the problem, not too long ago, a couple of young guys off the south side, they were having problems, and these guys wanted to do something to each other. So me being who I am, I called a couple of guys that was known in these guys' neighborhood, and I was able to get it resolved without any bloodshed, without any shooting, and I compliment myself and I applaud that, because we didn't have anyone doing that when we was at that door. We had people encouraging the riffraff, encouraging the negativity. We want to get some positive brothers in the line of fire. That's what we're going to jump right in the line of fire and try to put it out before it gets to be a raging fire, you know?
So conflict resolution is part of it.
That's the only part of it. We have to try to stop the problem before the problem becomes death.
Wow. You know, and the thing is, to be honest with you, I don't think anybody wants to get in there like that. They may talk a good game, a lot of people, but I don't think anybody really wants to get out there when it's getting serious and tempers are flaring. I think most people, you know, are just fearful of a bad outcome, so they don't go out there and get in it. And it's, you know, commendable for somebody like you to be willing to go get in the trenches and have others that are willing to go and get in the trenches and deal with conflict resolution.
But then, Carrie, we're not getting into the trenches. Carrie, this is our neighborhoods. We live in the trenches. Mm-hmm.
True.
This is our neighborhoods. We live here.
Right now,
I'm passing by Rosedale, and it was a death. I think it was a hit and run. I don't know the police chase. I don't know what happened after that. But it was something that happened where someone lost their life, I believe, on Evans and Rosedale yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think it was due to violence, but it was due to the crime rate, whatever. But I'm saying, this is me. This is where I'm from. I could have easily, when I got out of jail, I could have easily built my trucking company as I've done, get my money up and move out. No, I'm a homeowner in this. I'm a homeowner in this community. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give back to my community, where the community that I once helped tear down, I want to build up the great thing.
Wow. You know, I mean, most people, y'all, you know, when they get money, the first thing they do is run away from where they came from. You know, they consider themselves better than themselves and going to another neighborhood. But that's good to know that you want to go back where you started at and make it better.
And I was just down in the south. Oh, well, you guys saw the fishbowl. I was down. It's the neighborhood. It's never been a fishbowl. The police gave it that name from the investigation. I hate when they bring up the fishbowl because that's not who we are. Even the elders in the neighborhood love me to death. Still refers to our neighborhood as the neighborhood. I was just in the neighborhood the other night, and I could still see the remnants of negativity that we've left behind, that we still have work to do. But it's getting better. But you know what else I saw in my same neighborhood? Cameras on every corner.
Wow.
Cameras on every corner. And
so
you know, I'm not knocking. Go ahead, finish. I'm saying I'm not knocking the police. I'm not knocking the law enforcement for doing what they're doing. They're supposed to do that to do their job. I just want to do what I'm here to do, is try to prevent them to have to do their job on some of our youth. You know, I want to make their job easier by not policing our youth, but guiding our youth. You know what I'm saying? And not just our youth, our young adults, because it's not just our youth. I don't want to get in Mr. Smooth that it's just our youth running around here acting a donkey. Because it's not just our youth. You know, it's some of the guys that looked up to me. So I have a say. I can say something to them. They're allowed. I can talk to them, and they can relate to me. So with them relating to me, I can persuade them to do certain things. And for that is a blessing. I can't say that I read about how they say the young guys are so disrespectful. Okay, true enough, some of them are, but I haven't had that problem with my guys. My guys. The guys that know me and that love me for who I am or who I was and who I've become, those guys, they will listen. You know, I can speak with them. You know what I'm saying? That's a blessing. That's a blessing to be able to put my hands on it and be able to shift them or mold them into a better situation. And I feel like I can do that.
So are flock cameras, are they really a deterrent, or is that just over-policing the community?
One more time. Say again. I'm sorry, Gary.
Okay. Are flock cameras, all those cameras that you're talking about in the neighborhood, are they really a deterrent to crime? Do they really stop crime? Or are they just really over-policing our community?
I wouldn't say they're over. Well, I would say, because I'm a street guy. I'm a father, but I'm still a street guy. I would say that they're over-policing, but I think they use those to get stronger convictions. If you're going to use those cameras, use those cameras to prevent the crime. You see them doing wrong because they still allow people to do wrong right up under those cameras and don't even come. You know, they watch them do wrong right up under the cameras and they don't come. But if you're going to do that, go ahead and capitalize and get this out the hood. I don't support the cameras, but I don't feel like that our elders should be living in fear either. So if these cameras are helping our elders not live in fear, I'm all for it. They're just helping the police get a stronger conviction on another young black brother that's going to get put away 5-10 years of his life. I'm not for that.
You know, when we talk about the young brother who's living a life of crime, who do you blame? Is it the parents? Is it society? Who's to blame?
You can blame not so many people. You can blame society. You can blame their environment. You can blame their education. It's so many people that we can blame, and that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to play the blame game. I want to play the, okay, I'm here. What do I need to do to try to make this right? I don't want to play the blame game because we can point the finger at anyone. But I'm pointing the finger at Kevin first. Before I point the finger at anyone, I'm going to point the finger at Kevin and be like, what did you do to make this happen? And what can you do to help this not happen again? So that's where I'm at with it. I can't play the blame game because we allow ourselves to get put in certain situations to get handled in a certain way. So if I don't put myself in this situation, if I don't jump in the swimming pool, I won't get wet. So if we don't put ourselves in certain situations, then we won't be facing certain outcomes. So I'm not going to play the blame game. I'm just going to say what I can do, what my peers can do, what my family can do, try to make tomorrow better than today. That's my plan. And I'm out here, I'm going to cut you off, Ms. Carey. I'm out here doing this without any funds. I'm going to talk to these guys that's active in the community with the gangs or whatever. I'm out doing this right now without any funds. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that I'm doing it for the monetary value. No, I'm doing it because I feel like that's what's right. And if I can save one or reach one, I'm good. I feel better about myself because I know that I've led some down the wrong path. And I'm the first one to admit that.
And it sounds like you have, you know, a heart to try to fix what you helped to break.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's true.
Most people don't. And so, you know, listen, if you go give the money to somebody, give it to somebody who got some solutions, who ain't afraid to go out there, boots on the ground, because like you say, you already in the trenches because you live there, and do something positive to fix what's broken. I mean, I think that's what needs to happen.
And I've been out right now, like going on 6 years now, 7 years. My brother and I, my brother is Jimmy Daniels. My brother and I, we have TNS. We have TNS youth football. Shout out to my TNS family, man. I love y'all. Our TNS football from our 10U won. We took our kids down to Orlando last year. We won team in the nation.
Wow.
So we have our youth organization, and I want to just not just pour more into the youth, but I want to reach out to the recidivisms, to the people that get out of jail without a vision, and I want to give them a way out. You know what I'm saying? And we have to have the funds to give them a way out. We can't keep on going out, you know, raising money and with the kids and all that, and using it for this and using it for that. That's why we're coming to the city. We need you guys' help. We need y'all help.
I agree. And you know, and the thing is, I don't know sometimes if the city realizes that, you know, sometimes you've got to be able to know who to go to. It always needs to be a go-to person to fix a certain problem. Like, I'm not an electrician, so coming to me for an electrical problem is not going to work. So I think a lot of times I see the city going to the wrong people to fix problems. And so I think in a situation like the crime that we've got going on right now, we need somebody who's got solutions, who's got answers, who understands what's going on, and then be able to tell us ways in which it can be fixed and be able to address it hands-on besides sitting in our office and giving directives, who can actually get out there and be a part of the solution. And I think that's what you can offer the city that so many other people can't.
And back in 93, when we was at the height of the negativity. I believe in 95 and 96, we were murder capital of the world. Either 95 and 96 or 96 and 97. And I was a part of that negativity.
Wow.
I was a part of that negativity. So I've seen this show that's going on right now. I've seen this show before. And you don't want it to get too bad. You don't want to get too bad before it starts getting better, because from bad it's gonna lead to worse, and we don't need the body count. We don't need that. We don't need Fort Worth to be known as Fort Murder Worth. We don't need that. That's not the title that it sounds cool and all that in the prison rooms and in the day rooms and all that in the jails. It sounds cool, but all it's doing is it's costing young black lives. You know, young black lives to be away from their family and being away from their children. And that's what the violence leads to. It leads to homes without fathers. And when you pull that father out the home, now don't get me wrong. I'll never say a woman can't raise a man, because my mom did. I have a strong black mom, and I salute all strong black mothers. I love my black women. But we need that father in the home. When I left my home for those 10, 11, 12 years, I see the difference. My kids felt the difference.
Mm.
And when I came home, I had to reintroduce myself into their life. They were still part of my life while I was incarcerated, true enough. But hands-on, I had to reintroduce that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still in the process of that. And God is blessing me, and he has his hand on me and my situation. So So I'm good right there, and that's why I feel like I have the confidence and the willpower to get out and talk to these young men, these young men, these older men that's still doing the things that they're doing. And some of them will agree, and some of you gonna get those that's gonna agree. You're gonna get those that's gonna disagree. But I'm willing to take that. I'm willing to take that. I'm not afraid of a no. Nah, kid, I ain't doing that. I'm not afraid of that. Because I don't mean to cut you off. Those no, kid, I'm not doing it right now. They might, a couple of days ago, I had a guy come, kid, you know you was right, man. Man, what you think? Ooh, 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 ooh. You know what I'm saying? And for that, I feel like I've done what I'm supposed to do.
You know, you spoke about you had a strong mother. That said, back in the day, y'all, all it took was knowing that your mama was going to have a problem with what you did to make you make the right decision. Today, the influence outside is stronger than the mother's voice that used to scare us to death. Why do you think that is? What shifted that the mother's voice is not as strong today as it was when we were growing up?
The lack of, I'm not going to say religion, I'm saying the lack of the God fearing coming from these younger generations. A lot of these young generations, they don't fear God, and that's scary to me. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of.
So does the church have a role in helping to get this crime down in Fort Worth, or is it just on the community?
No, the church plays a very pivotal role. And my church, Mount Olive Missionary on Evans, that's the church that I belong to, Reverend William C. Glenn, he's like a father figure to me. Good guy. Always, he's been there for me, for my family, for the longest. Youth organizer, Mark Carter, my cousin, he works for the city, and he works for the school district. You know, and he has a program for young men. You know, he works at the all men school over there at Stop Six. He's a all boys school over at Stop Six. He's a great quarterback. He's a great God and visionary, because he's leading these kids. He's showing these kids that they can take and go out camping and things like that. We don't do none of that no more with our youth. Youth not going camping. We was doing that in church, and that's what we have to get back into. And our church doors are always open, you know, and our youth department is like full of the youth, and we just had VBS, Vacation Bible School, and we had a great turnout. But it's not, like I just told you all ago, we can't put it, lay it on this person or that person or this organization. Us as people in Fort Worth, as young men that want to see change, that want to see us do better in every aspect, we have to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in the store the other day, one of these little guys that me and their mother are real tight. He walked in the store, and I know that some of them are at war with other guys. I know that. He walked in the store. The store had a lot of older people in there, and my youngest had his gun on him.
Oh wow!
And then when he had his gun on him, the guns that they were carrying are so big and the clips are so long, was hanging out. So I'm like, come here, man, come here, man, come here, come here, man, come here, man. He walked to me. What's up, OG? I like, come here, daddy. I mean, you see these old people here, man. I can't tell them to go on and put the gun down. We got to tell them both on both sides, and that's on both sides of the fence, put the guns down. We can't just tell this side to put the gun down, because if they put the gun down and these ain't put theirs down and they kill them, you'll be feel like you play part in that. No, we gotta work from every angle, and that's what I want to do. That's what I want to put together. I want to work from every angle, north, south, east, and west. You know what I'm saying? Let's come together. If it's a problem, you guys know about the problem, call me up, man. I'm going to see if I know the guys that's involved in the problem, and I'm going to call them up. You know, but you got to have that relationship with them to do that. Everyone doesn't have that. And everyone, like you just said earlier, everyone is not willing to do that. How many people you know willing to go talk to a killer to tell them don't kill? Not a lot.
I agree. So would a Kevin Spencer be able to call a truce amongst the gangs in Fort Worth?
I wouldn't say I'll be able to call a truce, because I don't have that kind of control over another man. But what I can do, I can bridge that gap, and I can save a life. If I can save one life, that's where it starts at. Then I can save two. I can't save two lives until I save one. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't say I would call a truce, but I feel like I could help cure most of the violence, or some of the violence that's going on that I have knowledge of. And I have done that without funding.
I mean, it's so amazing, though, because when we keep seeing the bodies, the body count rising and rising and rising, and we realize the summer has just began, is there anything that you feel immediately can be done to help the situation?
What I feel like what needs to be done immediately is for us to get in the street.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Kev, I'm with you. Whatever you need to do, baby, let's rock. All right, what's going on y'all end, man? We chilling, man. Them boys, what the boys doing over there in Stop City? Right, they chilling, man. They got mad at whoop, 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 whoop. For real, let's try to squash that. I got a friend of mine that has sons that's real active in this gang virus right now. And I spoke with him the other day. He was like, Kev, I don't know, man. I got to keep bonding my kids out of jail.
Wow.
Every now and then. If mine go to jail for something like that, we're going to leave him in there for a minute for him to think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go make his bum.
Yeah.
Until we get some things out there and get it straight. Because I know he's safer in there where there's no guns than out here where they have guns that shoot 100 and 150 times with rapid fire, probably within 5 or 10 seconds. So I feel like right now what we need to do, we need to be the big homies that they look up to. If these kids are calling you OG, if these younger guys are calling you OG, if your peers are calling you OG, act as an OG. And that's to show them that the things that we did that was negative was BS. That wasn't right, man. Now, kid, you didn't know, yeah, that wasn't cool. I did that, yeah, but that's not cool, man. I should have whooped. That's what we have to do. We have to show them the ways that we grew up and the things that we experienced. Just because we experienced them and they glorified them at that time doesn't make them right. And they wasn't right.
The police that you see on the street today, are they equipped to deal with what's going on right now? I mean, do you see them being able really get to the
law enforcement? Law enforcement needs to get more in tune to the older guys that has been through it.
Mm. Mm. So they need to bring the old guys to the table.
Yes, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting, as they say. And that's not just with religious, with just us coming together, just sharing minds, like minds. Let's be like minded. You know, we all have the same goals, and it'll be easy to accomplish. You know, two or three people can accomplish something that'll take one person to accomplish longer. We'll accomplish that faster. Two or three people can. And I spoke with I was in Vegas. I was in Vegas, and we all went out to eat. I believe Tracy Carter. He's
mm-hmm.
officer. Tracy Carter. He's officer at Fort Worth. And he and I spoke. He and I spoke when we were in Vegas. We went to Super Bowl or something. We was in Vegas, and he and I had a conversation. He and I talked about this same thing. About bridging the gap, and Tracy made the comment. He was like, "Man, a lot of these organizations that they need you. They should reach out to you. I'm gonna reach out to you." And he did that. Certain organizations, I'm not gonna be derogatory toward them, but certain organizations, they're reaping a benefit. That's all. I'm just gonna say like that. I feel like they're just reaping a benefit. I don't see them. They're not active. I don't see them at clubs at night. I don't see them. I don't, when I say clubs, I mean just, if you act out like that, you'd have to put yourself in harm's way, and I don't see them in harm's way.
Wow. So the scary part about what I'm seeing with this new wave of crime is you got a fearless person out there with a gun. And when I say fearless, meaning they're not afraid to die. So anybody with a gun who's not afraid to die will take risks that other people, you know, who are more logical in thinking would not take. Do you see that out there, too, that these young folks just ain't scared to die?
That's what I was just speaking of. They're not afraid of God. I feel like these young folks are not afraid of God. So they're not afraid of the repercussions of their actions.
No consequences.
Mm-hmm. They feel like they can go bust that thing and it's okay. No, it's not okay. You're going to have repercussions. That bullet got to land somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you shoot up in the air, it got to come back down. So when it's so easy for them to pull the trigger. They want to, most of these young guys just want to hear their gun go pop. And I've been in that situation. I've been in a situation where I was infatuated with guns, where I just like to do this, and I like to do this, and I've stayed at the gun ranges. Mm-hmm. I've been in that situation where I've been infatuated mm-hmm. with guns. And it's an adrenaline rush because this mm-hmm. is something you like. And this is what excites you. So these younger kids are getting an adrenaline rush by doing the things that they're doing. And it's costing other kids their lives and parents their children.
You know, back in the day, we used to see that Scare Straight program, and we used to see the kids going to the prisons, and the inmates would give them, a speech about what, crime was like and how they ended up there and how they don't want to end up there. And the kids seemed like they were petrified, at just the sight of going inside the prison. I don't think these young folks today fear that like that. I think,
You know why they don't fear Carrie like that? Because we're not introducing them to while they're in the middle schools and the elementary school.
Yeah.
We're not introducing them to that. We need to start those programs. We need to utilize, not start those programs. We need to utilize those programs while they're in elementary school, becoming middle schools, and so on and so forth. That's where I want to go. I want to talk to these middle, because they're the next teams coming up. These guys that's in middle school, they see this. They see this. Some of them apply this. Some of them don't. We got to shine a negative light on this to them. Once we shine a negative light on this to these up-and-coming young men, once we shine a negative light on them, then our generations to come will be better than this one that we're in right now.
Yeah, that's what that is. I'm just saying. Back in the day, you used to see these 15, 16-year-olds going inside the prison, and those inmates would just scare the crap out of them. But today, you take a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, you take him in there, he's not afraid. She's not afraid. Because they've done some of everything by that age now. So you're exactly right that it needs to be in elementary school when they start to see what consequences could, result of them doing some of the things that they shouldn't be doing.
And I'm with that. And the Scourge Straight Program, I have them go down there and stay a weekend. Mm-hmm. Have certain situations or certain wings that can be monitored on. But let them see how a day or a weekend goes in jail.
Mm.
And that will be. I believe that would be very beneficial. Very, very beneficial.
Because I really feel like we're at the point of no return. Because if you have got, as they say, a body by 15, where do you go from there? You know what I'm saying? Because you have experience where some folks go through a whole lifetime.
You know where do you go from there?
Hmm.
If you got a body at 15. To have two at 16 and to have three at 17. That's what they're going from now.
Wow. But see, then that means you're growing up with no remorse for what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You don't have, if seeing dead people at the foot of your bed at night don't mess with you, nothing will. So you, then that's a conscious thing. If that doesn't mess with your conscience at 15 and 16, that's scary.
But Carrie, at our age, it was uncommon to see a dead body in the street.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon nowadays to see a dead body in the street.
So they're numb to it.
And you know what brings a lot of that on? That's social media. That's social media.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That social media really contributes to a lot of that, because a lot of these kids, and not to put a damp on social media and all that, because it's very informative, but a lot of these kids, they'll come pull a pistol or shoot someone for likes.
Yeah.
On Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
To get their likes up. Oh. So I feel like that the social media contributes to that. For the love of social media, other attention. A lot of these, now don't get me wrong, a lot of these kids were underachievers in the classroom.
Yeah.
Some of them were good at sports, some of them wasn't. But then they find something that they're good at and they thrive at that. They feel like this is something that they're good at. We got to shift the focus. We got to shift the focus and show them that they can be good at this, this, and this. Not just good at running the streets and committing havoc.
So in this past weekend, the holiday weekend of the 4th of July, We heard that there were like 20 people dead, 126 shot in violence across the country, Fort Worth being one of those cities, I think Baltimore, Philadelphia, and I'm not sure what the other city was. And so a lot of people were trying to say that it may be connected because it happened within a certain like span of time. Do you believe that's the case?
I believe it's connected. You know where I feel like it's connected at? with their mindset, not connected as in we do this, y'all do this, we do this. No, with their mindset. I feel like we have similar mindsets all around the country, and that's what we got to do. Once we change the way we think, we can change the way we act. Once we change the way I act, we can change the results that we're getting. I feel like we have to, it starts first with changing our thinking process. And that's where we come in as the big homies, as the adults, as the people that has been through this situation. That's where we come in and be like, hey, nah, that ain't working, bro. Yeah, they say when we go to jail, it ain't. I'm crying in the shower, thinking about my family, my loved ones at home. I'm thinking about things that I'm missing. They don't tell that part of the game. I'm here to tell them that part of the game before they have to experience that part of the game.
Wow. You know, the mental illness is the new catchphrase. Everybody's throwing that term around, mental illness. How, and I'm not saying it's not real, but what role do you think it plays in what we're seeing today versus what you saw in the 80s?
Mental illness is real.
It's very real.
But you will be surprised. You will be surprised, Carrie. The guys that are doing some of these acts, the guys that are portraying some of these acts of violence or involved in some of these gangs, these guys are some of the brightest young men that you ever want to see in your life. I went to jail. Carrie, I think that some of the smartest people I ever met was in jail. You got people in jail and die. Getting their doctor's degree. They got doctorates in jail. When I went to jail, I didn't even have my high school diploma. I got my GED in jail, and I went to college while I was in jail. I took sociology and psychology. You know, I didn't get my degree, but I experienced college in jail.
So let me ask you this. If let's just say there's a 15-year-old or 16-year-old that got a body at 15 and a body at 16, what can a Kelvin Spencer do to help someone like that?
I can open his eyes to the road that I went down before he go down it. I can grab him and shake him and be like, hey, young one, no, man, you can't do that. You know, but they trying to whoop the woo, they trying to, yeah, okay, they trying to kill you, but after you kill them, then what? What then? I want to know their perspective. I want to know what they're thinking. Once they enlighten me on what they're thinking, and a few guys have talked to me. Yeah, but OG, they whoop doo whoop doo. I know. I understand that. Yeah, they tried to ride on. I've experienced that. I know how that feels. So I know they're upset. I know they won't get back. But you can't always get back, because if you're getting get back, then someone else is going to be looking to get back on you.
So how dangerous are these streets out here? Because for those of us who, you know, are not out there like that, how dangerous is the streets of Fort Worth right now?
They're deathly dangerous, Care.
We don't want to believe
that. I don't know the exact count right now, Carrie. I don't know the exact count, but they're deathly dangerous. I don't know the count right now about murders up until this point compared to other years in past. But we're in what, July, the beginning of July?
Yeah.
We haven't even hit August yet.
I guess, even though we see it on TV, we see, you know, this one killed, that one killed, you know, east side, south side. You know,
and see that, not to cut you off, Miss Carrie, but see that's what I'm talking about, Miss Carrie. Y'all, you guys see it in the street. Y'all, you guys see it on the news. I go down the street, I see them laying in the street. They're in the street. They're in it. I see it.
Wow. See.
You know, just say, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, finish.
But to say that to some people it's not real to them because it's not next to them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they moved out the hood. Me, I'm a hood. I'm a hood cat. I ain't going nowhere. I'm in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the hood. I ain't going nowhere. I'm like the cameras the police put in the hood. I'm out here. I'm like the cameras on the corners. I'm real, because this is my hood, and I care. I care about what goes on.
What should the community be doing? Because if let's just say they taken over your block, you know, whether that be drugs or whether that be, you know, gang activity or whether that be, you know, too many bodies and landed up on in front of your porch or whatever, what should the community be doing to take the community back? What could the community have done when you all were running your neighborhood?
What the community should be doing is putting the right individuals in the right circumstances to make a change, and they're not doing it. They're just putting they're letting people that may have been in the streets, they're putting them in ahead of organizations and situations where they're saying that they're outreach programs, that they're going out talking to youth, they're going out doing this. But I don't see it. I don't see a stop the violence present in my hood or in the surrounding hood, because like I said, I'm not just in my neighborhood. I'm all over and all around. But I don't see that. And if you're getting funded by the government or by city or statewide, if you're getting funded by that, you should see some profit on your the results will be profit on your money if you're investing money into this. You should get something out of it, and I'm not seeing it.
So let me ask you, in the height of you doing what you were doing back in the day before you went to jail, is there anything anybody could have done to reach you and turn your life around?
Yeah, I wish when I was doing what I was doing, if someone would have came to me with the same business that I'm in right now. See, I'm into trucking right now. I'm doing trucks right now. I'm in the truck. I have my own truck company. If someone would have came to me with that plan and showed me that I can do this and make this money that I'm making over here doing this and I don't have to live like this, I would have been open for it. It would have helped me. I wish I'd have known the things that I know now with my trucking and with the business and with these outlooks right now with the credit situation. You know, I want the young men to get their credit right. You know, that's really a big thing to me. I want to see my young men with good credit. How many men you know that's young black men, 20 to 25, that say they have a 700 credit score? That's what I want to put on. I want to put programs in and let them know this is how you can build your credit. This is what you need to do. This, you know, I want to set them on the path to succeed. That's the path to succeed. You know what I'm saying? And they're not doing that. You know, they're allowing themselves to get put on child support, then they get behind on their child support, then goes into credit and all of that. I want to change that. I want to let them know, hey, take care of your bills, pay this. We need to pay this because it's going to affect your credit later on. And I want to show them that was what I've been shown. If I wish I'd have seen these things or learned these things at an early age, and I could have avoided some of the, you know, the turmoil. But I didn't. I wouldn't change anything because these are the things that made me who I am and gave me the outlook that I have.
So when people have given up on you and call them, you know, Generation X, and, you know, there's the point of no return, and, you know, they're just a lost generation. When you hear things like that about the children and the youth today, even the young adults, what are your thoughts? Can they be saved?
I think that's BS. Care they said that about us.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the kids they said that about.
Wow. Wow.
I was one of them. I was one of the kids that'll never be nothing that's gonna live. That you're gonna be in jail for the rest of your life. Y'all doing stupid stuff. Ain't no help for y'all. I was one of those. That's why I know what these young men are. I know how they're feeling. I know the negativity that these young men get far outweighs the positivity and the encouragement they're getting from guys like me.
Wow.
They're getting negative from every angle.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Well, my co-host got questions for you. Listen, y'all. I just had to take that first hour, y'all, because there's so many questions I got for this young man, because I believe he has some answers and some solutions to what's going on. So I'm going to open up my phone line tonight and open it up to Christopher and Adrian. And listen, if you have a question or a comment for Kevin Spencer, you can get on the phone line. The number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. If you're listening via the internet, the number is at the top of the screen. If you're on the phone lines, you have to press 1, and that will let us know that you want to be in the queue to speak with Kevin. All right, Adrian. All right, Christopher, good evening.
I'll let you go ahead and go first, Adrian.
Good evening, Karen.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Good evening.
Yeah. Hey, Karen. Brother?
I can hear you.
Oh. Okay, my bad, y'all. I'm sorry if I'm like, hold on, let me fix myself.
Hey, brother, glad to have you back on for another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I heard you on the first time, on the previous discussion, and I just want to say glad to have you back on. Glad to hear that all is still well in your life, and you're still moving forward and making positive changes, and just helping the community to become better than what it is, try to reach its full potential. So I love something you said. You spoke to what you're willing to do, and while recognizing what you might be limited at doing. And I think a lot of people too often, that's real humbling right there, because you recognize, hey, I have limits, and I'm a man just like anybody else, but your willingness to even just put in the work, considering where you came from, it says a lot. So I just want to say thank you for that, brother. Now, as far as the law enforcement and tech, as far as the law enforcement and technology we're currently, my only issue is with this. I grew up in that era. See, I was born in 79. I've been in Fort all my life, so I was in the 90s. I was growing up in that era.
What side of town you from, bro?
Eastwood. I'm from Eastwood. But the side I'm from, we had put another name on it. We had called it Hooperwood. I'm from that side, so I have to get into that. Yes, sir. But yeah. So myself, I experienced gun violence. But I'm thankful that I survived. I survived, and I'm still here. But when we was coming up, I tell people one thing about law enforcement nowadays: they're not visible. There is it's no presence of law enforcement. When I was coming up, we saw law enforcement. If we were out hanging, if we were thinking about doing something, we rethought it. Even if we wasn't thinking of doing it, we know law enforcement was in the area. And this current law enforcement is too impersonal to me. It's no personalized feeling with this new law enforcement. So they're relying on this technology to.
Thank you, brother. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't mean to cut you off. I totally agree with you. But with the presence, we have to have a humbling presence coming from the police. We don't need an intimidating presence. We don't need a stirring you down. What I'm saying? No, that ain't the presence that we need. We need the presence. And like, hey, brothers, how you doing? We need that presence, because the situation will become even worse if we have a presence, police presence that's aggravating the situation. You know what I'm saying? And so we need the police to have programs for the police that will show them how to deal with our youth and our adolescents. That's what we need, because you can have police presence and attention be so thick that it'll cut us. They had police presence down at, what park was that? Come on, in your hood, Chris. What park was that down there? When they had the shooting down there.
Park? Or something like that?
Real Barker Park. We had a hell of a police presence. You know, but it wasn't the humbling peaceful police. It was, you know what I'm saying? And then the kids shot it out right there in front of the police. Mm.
Right. But you know, right, because I recall when, like I said, when we were coming up, we saw them. I don't see them no more. I don't see them in our communities. I don't see them. They use, you know what, brothers? They show up after the fact. That's why when you go to a particular city, you see 40 law cars, 40 police officers with lights blazing. If y'all was patrolling, if y'all was making yourselves visible, you're not going to stop everything, but I guarantee you, criminals, they'll rethink doing something. But and real quick, but I didn't more or less have a question. I was just some observations, you know, some of the things you were touching on. And then as far as us as men, I love that as a man, we as men, we got to take our rightful place back in society and you know, to rectify a lot of this stuff. Because I always tell people, not always tell people, but one thing I've come to realize is God gave men authority first, men. You know, not taking up from one man, but he gave men authority first. So we... We are out of position as men, and kudos to the ones who are doing whatever they're doing. But a lot of us are out of place as men. That's what we're, you know, the reality of what we're getting now. So I'm gonna digress for a little bit and I continue listening.
Okay, I agree. Hey, how you doing? I agree. Let me comment on what he just said. I agree. We are out of the loop as men. But that's because we didn't have no one to show us to be men. We're doing. I taught these young kids. I taught these kids, well, not voluntarily, but they learned from me on how to gangbang. They learned from you how to gangbang from your neighborhood. We taught these kids how to act. So now we got to unteach what we've already taught. You know what I'm saying? We got to unteach what we've already taught. We taught these kids. I learned from the other drug dealers, the pimps, the hustlers, all that grew up in my neighborhood. I learned from them. Mm. I learned from them. They didn't teach me voluntarily. No, but I was a student of them, and I was under their tutelage. So I'm listening and looking, and I'm walking like them. I'm talking like them. We have to unteach what we've taught. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If that makes
sense. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Here's what I would say. I love the conversation that we had in the first hour, and I just want to say, honestly, I feel like this conversation and this platform is becoming more and more anointed, because we are on a plateau here that having a conversation, and I'm just gonna read something that I wrote, because we pretty much Carrie's conversation and the interview that you, the things that you put out there are just right in the zone here. So I'm going to read it. Now I'm not, I'm totally not using this analogy to advocate predatory paramilitary policing. That's something I am totally in opposition of. But here is the reality that our city leaders do not seem to comprehend. The people in many communities of Fort Worth are living in no man's land, caught in the crossfire of a skyrocketing violent crime wave. We are already in the trenches, waist deep in blood and bodies. So the thing I see seriously wrong with the way the city leaders are using resources such as the CCPD and their approach to the solution here is that the focus is that all these resources and all of their approaches are focused on funding these theoretical approaches to the problem. We have these organizations that we've been talking about that are like, and it's an experimental laboratory mentality, this ivory tower, idealistic innovation, trying to come up with some moonshot magic pill solution. But what we need to prioritize are programs that we can deploy right now that will have an immediate kinetic impact. We don't need to be thinking about curing cancer when we have sucking chest wounds, you know, on the battlefield. We need to stop the bleeding. We need to get information and charge and get some battle dressings and tourniquets on the immediate trauma people are experiencing right now. And that's exactly what I sit there and say. Yeah,
I totally agree with you. And how we do that we go to the sources. We go to the people that's involved. We don't go to the people that's sitting back directing people to get involved. We go to the sources. You deal with people that's in the streets, that's on the streets, such as myself, such as a couple other brothers that's along with me. That's why my side that has these youth programs. That we're trying to stop. It's like preventing a gun from getting into the kid's hand before you have to take it out of his hand. Let's stop it from getting into his hand. Let's stop that. Let's stop the cut. We ain't got a band-aid. We ain't got to put a band-aid on the cut if we stop the knife from getting to the cut. We're going to stop it before it happens. That's mine.
Right. It's the same mentality that we get. You know, there's this – it's biblical. Everything that we are guided by, you know, that's the heritage. That's where – and that's what you were saying about God being gone. But the Bible, you know, we had some conversation about you saying that we need to hit these kids in elementary. Well, that's biblical because Jesus said, give me your child the first 7 years, and I will have a servant for life. But when you neglect those first 7 years, and you put kids in this trauma, just like what happened, let's say, example, with Zion Carr, you know, when you're letting these events happen and you're not nurturing these kids in the first 7 years, they get down to the line. It's just like what you said, they become calloused and then it becomes a mental health issue, and then you're behind the curve, and that's where we are with that, you know. And I mean, really, we could have conversations all day, and I can say historically, I think I was raised in Fort Worth too, and I can say, I'm just going to make one point about blame. It's not, and I agree with you, it's not the blame thing. Blame ain't never going to get a solution, you know. You need to identify the problem. You identify the problem, yes, but that don't mean that we need to regress and go back and harp on blaming people. We need to identify the problem, remove the problem, and then get some traction and get up on the mountain, you know. But I know that one thing in the black and brown and really every community, but predominantly in Fort Worth, has been this gentrification issue. And what I see is, and you know, in gangs, you know, there's the territory, you know, and you break it down, and we've got people, we've got Maddie Parker, and we've got a problem with the people that are in leadership. We've got Neil Noakes. And a lot of the Fort Worth police departments, the community needs to identify with who they're interacting with as police. And it's just like what you said, there needs to be a hood boot camp, a 2 or 3 week hood boot camp happening in that police academy. No matter where these police officers you get them from, they need to freaking come through, and they need to go through what's that program for kids, Hard Knocks or whatever. You know, there needs to be some kind of program for them. So because we got to – and that's what I say, because we're fielding these police officers, and the problem with criminal justice system and policing is they've become very, very ingrained in the institutional solution. And, you know, the institutional solution turns in – institutional solutions are not a solution. That's a reaction. Your solution is, like you said – I don't know if you've seen the movie Unbroken about that World War II guy that was Ernie Zampini or whatever. He was an Olympic guy. And anyway, but it used to be, even when I was a kid, that you had police officers that weren't scared to go. And I'm not mean being abusive or anything like that, but if they, you know, we talk about, curfew. Well, this curfew and giving a kid a ticket and putting them in the system and putting paperwork on them, that don't mean shit to kids. That's like that Charlie Brown teacher, wah, 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 wah. What we used to have with policing is police officers that will get out, snatch you up, right, if they got to chase you, if they got to roll you in some grass and get you, and then they take you by your neck to your parents, you know, and they sense things out, and they know the community, they know the people. And so you take your kid home. Listen, you want to tell your parents what happened, or do I want to tell you? You know, instead of just putting them in handcuffs and then telling the kids to come bail them out, get them a lawyer, that hurts the family. That's money. But a lot of things can just,
but,
yeah.
But, but let me comment. Sure. Let me comment on that one time. But no, you straight. I want to comment on that. It's such a distrust between the police in my black community.
Yeah.
It's such mistrust because of all of the things that we've been through in the community. The police killed my brother in 93.
Oh, wow.
Officer David Elise killed my brother in 93 in front of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was unarmed. This is before we had cameras and all that. My brother was unarmed. My brother got away from the police, took off running. He was shot in the back, in the liver. He died from laceration of the liver. He mm-hmm. shot him one time. My brother jumped in the car with my mother, and the police shot him. So what we have mm-hmm. in my community is a distrust between mm-hmm. the police and the black community. And the mm-hmm. reason that the distrust is so is distrust. Now, I'm not going to get on, because all police officers are not bad. All police mm-hmm. officers. I got a friend of mine that grew up under me. He's an officer. He's not an officer in Fort Worth. He's an officer in one of the surrounding cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brian Gator's a good guy, great guy. He's an officer, my guy, loving him to death. The gap between the hood and the police officers is the mistrust gap. And it's mistrust gap mm-hmm. because back when we were young, we had some police that would get guys and drop Crips off in stop six and drop your guys off for stop six on the south side, you know, with the intention of hurting them or get them hurt or get them eventually killed.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the gang vibes were so high. So what we have to do, once we're getting a handle on our situation, we have to try to influence the city council and the mayor to devise programs for these young officers that's coming out here that's so gung-ho, and they're afraid right now. And they're afraid because these young brothers are killing, and they got just as big as guns as they've got. So it's like they're in the battlefield. That's why they're so quick to shoot, because mm-hmm. they're afraid for their life. And with the proper training, and with the proper knowledge, you know, they're just misinformed. With the proper knowledge, they will get out in the communities and know that it's not as bad as they say it is, but still be able to protect themselves and protect and serve. Because if not, that gap will probably never be bridged because of so much wrongdoing from the police to us. The police doesn't mm-hmm. trust the young black man. The young black man doesn't trust the police. And you can't blame both of them, because they only things that they see in the hood. They see when the police put a charge on him that wasn't right. Kids are running from police. They're running from police in cars because they know that they seen this officer put a case on him that wasn't correct. You know what I'm saying? So what we have to do, the city, mayor or whatnot, to have to devise plans to further educate and inform mm-hmm. these new officers that's getting put on beats and that's coming out of the academy. You know, they have to.
And I think it's ridiculous, you know, that one of the things that I always bring up is there's no excuse why these police officers can't be damn near perfect. They're making $100,000 a year without any, with 6 months out of high school. I mean, they ain't got no post-secondary, no psychology, no. They go to police academy. They ain't never made no grades doing nothing, and they get more than a damn nurse or a lawyer does starting out.
Yeah, well, see, society is not right. Society is not right. The teachers are underpaid. The teachers are underpaid, and the judges are overpaid. Come on now. We're going to keep it hood now. We're going to pay these teachers. I have a daughter. She graduated from North Texas, I believe in the fall. She's going to be a teacher, and I was like letting her know that teachers don't make a lot of money. The teachers ain't making no money. You know, she told me, Dad, I'm not doing it for the money, Dad.
Right.
And that touched me because she's doing it because she loves it.
Yeah.
So in a perfect world, the teachers will make way more than the judges and all that. Even the police officers will make more in a perfect world. But we're not in a perfect world. We're in an imperfect world. Go ahead.
I saw where some CCPD programs got over $1 million. I forgot, Boys and Girls Club or one of those.
Fort Worth ISD.
It wasn't the Boys and Girls Club, but I know which one it was, but it wasn't the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. Somebody got a whole bunch of money. And so my thing is, what would some money, like that kind of money, do for your hood?
What would that do for the hood? Oh, my God. Number one, what it would do, it would allow us to, like you said, get boots on the ground, get feet on the ground, get joints on the ground, and we would be able to take some of the kids out the hood. To show them, to widen their horizon, to show them, hey, we can have this, we can have that. I'm talking about taking them to the Atlantas, just traveling and letting them see the world. Once they see the world, once you widen these kids' horizon, they'll know that they don't have to be in a 6 to 8 block radius shooting up each other. There's a whole world out there that they haven't seen, and I want to show them that. I want to show them that.
I believe. Because I'm looking at all this money, and even though, and I don't think the Boys and Girls Club is, I think, you know, is unacceptable work, don't get me wrong. But I think one thing that they're saying this year is that they need to move the money to other organizations to give other organizations an opportunity. Because we're talking about, I think last year they gave out, oh, somebody's got some noise.
Not me.
Is that you, Chris?
No, not me. No.
No, I'm good.
Okay,
hey,
so
Carrie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to let you know, he's on my line, so I just want to get
Malik. Who's on your line?
Malik,
okay, does he have a question?
I don't know. I just merged.
Okay, so it's a lot of money. You know, they gave out like $10 million, I believe, the last time they gave out money. So that's a whole lot of money that could do a whole lot of good for, you know, teens, you know, who are in crisis or needing mentoring or, you know, all, whatever type of programs could help bridge the gap between police and community. And so, you know, when I think about what you said earlier about the neighborhood, the neighborhood and what that could do to right what happened back then and make it right today. I was just thinking how that type of money could help your neighborhood with programs and mentoring, things like
programs, the programs and the funding, showing these kids, you know, taking them out to, you know, giving them something to do. You know, idle mind is a devil's workshop. We have to give these kids something to do.
I think. I mean, because, you know, and the thing is, I really don't know how the city expects to fix this if they don't, if you got teens who don't have anything to do. There's no skating rinks here. There's no nothing. There's no entertainment.
It's funny you brought that up, Carrie. It's funny you brought that up. I was thinking about it. I wanted to open up a skating rink, and I looked at that spot over there.
Okay,
someone's
got some
noise.
Okay, so
Carrie,
you got some noise? Okay. Was that you, Adrian? Go ahead.
I was thinking about the skating rink. See, I want to take kids on the college visits. I want them to be able to take them up to Texas, University of Texas, take them to all the colleges in Texas, and then we'll branch off and go to the ones in Oklahoma or Arkansas. I want them to see that. I want them to see that college isn't just school, and, you know, you can still go to college and have fun and do this and strive to this. I want them to college visits, taking them to the companies, to GM, Lockheed, let them see the planes being built at Lockheed. You can build this plane, young man. You can do this. You can drive this plane. You can fly this plane. You know, I did some work at Lockheed in my truck when I was doing my trucking. I did some work at Lockheed, and they gave me access to, like, going looking at the stealth fighter jets and things like that. And then I was in awe. So imagine what kind of impression that would put on a young man that really doesn't have a direction. He's looking for a direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to do. We got to channel that energy, that inner energy that these young men have, that they're so full of, we got to channel that negative energy into something positive, and I feel like that would do it. We got to take it to seeing how multi-billion-dollar corporations are ran, and this could be, you know.
I agree. There's just so many ideas. You know, they've got fire training academies all over the city. You know, up there at that taking these community colleges. They got the police academy. They got the fire training academy. And during the summer months, more effective than throwing this money at these CCPD organizations. Like I said, you got a quick fix. If you can get 100 kids a day going to that fire training academy for some little program, that's going to be intriguing to them, you know, or just get 100. And as far as for the teenagers, I said, why are we spending $50 million for these new street sweeper trucks when we could pay 16-year-old kids that are out for the summer, give them a broom and a dustpan and let them make $12, $13 an hour, you know? They want to make money the right way. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Even with my peers that's been through, let's show them, man, I want to employ you. I want you to be part of this. You know, and turning your hood, that's my program. I want to turn your hood to be good. You know what I'm saying? I want to turn our hoods back to be good neighborhoods. You know how you would walk out, you can leave your door open and stuff like that. That's how my neighborhood was.
And I can say, real quick, that was what I was going to get to earlier a little bit, was I think your generation and my, I was 75. I was born at JPS. I grew up in Blue Mound, and then I moved to California, but my biography is irrelevant. But what I do know about the city and about the black community in Fort Worth and everywhere that I've been, because, you know, is what's different between our generation and this generation is the heritage has been lost. And I said there's this thing that goes on in Fort Worth that's really bad, you know, the gentrification thing. They're moving neighborhoods around to build, you know, if you remember Bluff Street, you remember Bluff Street up right there by the courthouse?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
That used to be during the late 80s, mid 80s, that was a rough little spot. You know, I mean, they had crack houses and everything up in there. Well, what they just did,
That's my entire area. You don't even see any blacks. I agree. That gentrification is crazy right now. It's crazy right now because you don't even see my young black men there. They're building apartment buildings and apartment houses.
Yeah, they bulldozed everything. They did the same. They're doing
That was part of the 7th Street plan. I mean, you got to get into planning, dude. When I was on it, when they started it, their 7th Street thing, that was already in the making, bro. When they knocked Greenway down and all that, bro, Chris, you look off on the black community, bro. So you need to get out there to hit the horse, bro, because that shit kind of touchy for me, bro. So you need to get out there to hit the horse, because what I went through the last couple of days, bro,
what I've seen out there
in Como.
What's your name, brother?
Oh, it's Brother Malik.
Hey, Brother Malik. Now, you say what you just said, because it's like you a muffin. I can hear you, babe. What's your name?
I'm just saying he's a little off about some of these black communities, bro. If you ain't grew up in an area, you don't know the vibration of the area.
He don't know nothing about our neighborhood, bro.
No, he don't know nothing about our neighborhood.
Tell me what you felt like you was off on.
I mean, our culturalism, the way we do stuff and how we think and how we process, bro.
Okay. Tell me how you feel like he was he's misinforming,
because every black neighborhood in Fort Worth wasn't a hood, bro. That's what I'm getting at. Every black neighborhood in Fort Worth wasn't no hood, bro. I wasn't saying that, man. Black neighborhood.
Hold up, Chris.
I wasn't
and I
saying
grew up around.
What,
a good class of black folks, bro. Even though, even from a perspective of my cousins on the South, can I finish, brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
We're listening.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Well, gotcha. Let me ask you a question, Kelvin. Switching gears a little bit. You know, if the right amount of funding was available to employ some young men at a decent wage, would that take some of them out of a life of crime and help them get on the right path?
Most definitely, no. That's what they're looking for. Yes, they will. Yes, they will, Mr. Malik. Yes, they will.
How so?
I know we're in my hood. Mm-hmm. How so? You giving them something to do positive
how
with that
so,
time
bro?
Instead of just hiring them?
It's three.
I'm telling you
it's
how
three
so.
Monsters that you deal with. How do you defeat the black mother? How do you defeat that black mama?
How do you defeat what?
Now answer the question, brother. How do you defeat that black mama?
Ask the question if I can know what you're saying, because you don't lost me. The black,
I said,
black
how do
mama.
I hear what you're saying, bro. I hear what you're saying. But it ain't that easy. I said, how do you defeat that black mother?
How do you defeat the black mother?
Yeah.
I'm
you can put all what you're saying. You can put all what you're saying into that chat. Because I've been around the Pee Wee League and I watch how we move and certain things we do. That woman can tear down everything that you're trying to put into these kids, bro. Between that and that schoolhouse, bro.
Anybody can
we
turn
are
down,
losing,
but it's
man.
Up to us as black.
We losing 110%.
I agree. But us as black men, Brother Malik, us as black men, we have to, even if we lose them by the mother, we still got to reach, try to grab and get back at them. And then the mother, I don't feel like the mothers lose them. I feel like we as black men lose them.
Yeah.
I feel like we as black men lose them. And then if you speak of Pee Wee football, that's what these mothers, and it's sad because it's the mothers bringing the kids to the Pee Wee football. It's not the fathers. I run a Pee Wee organization.
I get that point. I do security. I do security, bro. That's why ain't been no more killings no more around here. Because we out there micromanaging something that
that's
I never thought. I never had to micromanage. Because I see some things that I know that's totally unconventional that I've seen in leagues that I feel just, bro, it don't take all that to coach these kids. All this issue, all this violence and stuff that I've seen that I never thought I'd never see.
It's been violent.
Parents fighting, coaches fighting.
I was confused. That's been going on since I played Pee Wee football, Malik. That's been going on.
When did
you
start playing, bro? What? No. That's not true, bro. I started playing in 75.
What you mean? I'm telling you, it is true. I was born in 1975. I played for Polly Hornet. I coached at Blue Raider. And when I have my own organization.
I coached at Blue Raider, bro. Bro, I coached at Blue Raider.
When, sir?
I coached at Blue Raider.
What you mean, when?
In 2000.
Corey Ellis.
I know this, bro. Sid Ellis. Keith Ferguson.
Corey and I way back. Corey was up on the Sid and I. Sid and Corey was up on the me back in the day with me and Michael Holly when we was over at Blue Raider. Me,
yeah, Sid, yeah, Mike, and Mike Holly, yeah. I coached the Rams with Tony, too.
So y'all know each other.
He coached the Rams with Tony, too. Tony, too, coached under my program right now at CNS.
Okay, understood.
So what I'm saying is this. We don't have men. We don't have a if you've been in Pee Wee football, then you know it's not the women that's failing our youth. It's us as fathers and men that's failing our youth, Malik. And the reason I say that, brother, is because we're not there. We might not be, including myself. Mm-hmm. It took me off the thing for 10, 11 years that we're not there. And we may not be there because of being incarcerated, doing something else, but we're not there. So I feel like us as men failed them. And I don't know. I didn't understand the statement you made and how do we defeat the black mother. I don't understand that question. Maybe you can
bro,
elaborate
you,
on that.
Well, the question being, bro, you could take these young men, and if they with that, I ain't saying all mothers, but some of these mothers have wrecked these young men, bro. Because they are the ones who control these young men. And they take on them same emotional ways that that woman does, bro.
I agree to a certain extent. But I got a question for you, Melissa. Answer this question. While the women, as you said, are wrecking these men and they're taking on their monstrous honor and their emotion, where are their fathers at? Where are the men at?
I mean, some of them may be incarcerated. Some of them, you know, women can be very vindictive, bro. Father see their kids, and I see it all the time. And so that's a cultural thing that needs to stop, bro. Because I got homegirls that got young men, and them boys are, you know, they handle their business when it comes to their kids. I ain't going to put that on all the mothers, but some of that crap, that ghetto mess is destroying us, bro.
I agree with you, but I agree, and we can agree to disagree that I feel like it starts with the father, because if I got a son by this female, and me being the father of this child, and I see that my son's mother is twitching him and all that, I'm going to step in if I have the ability, unless I've done something to allow myself to get incarcerated or have done something to be taken out of his life.
That's not the case all the time. We talking about these new millennials. These new millennials, well, parents are something different.
Hey, brothers.
80% of the time.
But we'll come to a stalemate on that, brother. We'll come to a stalemate.
Hey,
I don't want to burn all that. I got respect the time. I respect the time, so we're going to get off of that, bro. We're going to agree to disagree.
Kerry, I got just a quick observation. I'm a part of a youth organization, and I know the youth football is one outlet, but you know, as far as the like we were speaking in regards to the CCPD fund and with the money allocated to it, that should open up more avenues for our young people to explore in, because you know what, it seems like I seem like our youth are trapped in a cycle of sports, you know. Basketball, football, being athletes, you know what I'm saying? So if I feel like CCPD funding should not only put in things that should implement programs, you should have organizations implement programs to get them out of the violence aspect, but take them into areas of life that they never thought they could, you know, to open their brains, you know what I'm saying, to try new things. Let's go to this history museum of science or, you know, just thinking outside the box, because you know we know the schools are not doing. Yes, we know the schools are not doing. The schools are not doing. So that was just an observation.
You're correct. That's what I was speaking on allowing the kids to travel and showing them different things. Let them visit colleges. Let them go to museums. Take the historical landmarks. Let them know, hey, this happened right here. You gotta widen your horizon. I agree with you on that. You gotta widen your horizon. And it's not just
We had that years ago. They had that years ago, and they took it away.
When? Who had it?
We had it when I was coming through. Mm-hmm. We had it in the 80s, bro. I was at HBCU, too. We had all kinds of crap going on. We had the Texas Workforce Commission, all that other crap going on. What? HBCU, bro. What? College tour. Huh?
Okay.
Where did we go? That was back in the 80s, right? I think my junior year back in 87, we did that crap.
Let me mention something. CCPD funding applications open as of today. As of today,
correct.
The city began taking applications for CCPD funding. So that's one of the reasons we're talking tonight about the fact that, you know, people like Kevin Spencer has some solutions on how to make it, how to bridge the gap between police and community, and how to help reduce the crime. And I think that's what we got to ask the city for. Give us some organizations where we can see what they're doing, where we can see the dollars at work. And I'm not no slight on no one, because I heard this week someone said, you know, they felt like I had, you know, said some things about the organization. if you feel that way and you know who you are, I apologize. That's not what we're here to do. Center Stage, which is the other platform I host, and Let's Talk Footwork, we're here to look for solutions. We're not here to bash anybody, to make anybody feel less than. That's not what we do. So if you feel that way and you know who you are, I apologize. That's not what I'm attempting to do. I want to find a solution. And I think with $10 million out there, there's enough money for everybody. So but what we would like to do is to give money to some people that maybe you haven't given some money to before. You know, because if someone has a solution.
I said, good luck on that one, because you them gatekeepers. Woo. Woo. I said, that's a monster, though, because, you know, when people are submitting applications from different organizations, and when they run through their little gatekeeper, they screening, you know what I'm saying, and they just knock these people down without even telling these people why, how, or if you made a mistake, giving your application back to you to make the corrections when you do apply, but it's them same hot 19 that's getting it all the time.
Well, we got to call that out. That's what we're doing tonight. We're calling those people. We're calling that board
and
out tonight.
When,
that we need to see some new faces and some new names on that list.
I've never had any problem with them giving the money to the organization. I have a problem with the organization not taking the money, utilizing it to where it's
agreed.
And them
agreed.
That's the problem. I give all the money you want. If you can give them the money, and they can stop some of this violence and direct the kids into the right direction. Cool. But if they're not like we spoke once before, if they're not spearheaded and active in the community, then they shouldn't be part of the community like that.
Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, first
hey,
of
thing,
go ahead,
Amy. I was just saying, another thing with those funds, you should be exhausting those funds. It shouldn't be nothing.
Exactly.
It shouldn't be nothing left at the end of the year. You should do whatever's necessary to make sure those funds
That's
are exhausted. Good. Make sure they're exhausted and you use them to the best ability that represents the organization to help those lives become better. Because if you still got something at the end of the year, then you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And you should,
and you should
want to be accountable with the money, because it's not your money. You know what I'm saying? It's money entrusted to you. It's money entrusted to you. So you should have no issues with somebody saying, hey, what are you doing? You shouldn't have no issues. But there we go.
Adrian.
So why isn't an oversight board to that? Should an oversight board should be of accountability be mandated to the CCPD funding, so everybody in the public can see where how that money is being allocated, versus those board members our council board, so-called board members that's supposed to be micromanaging these programs and this funding has been dispersed.
I agree.
Yes,
hey, let me speak real quick, because you guys are knocking at some things that are real can be developed. And what I sent I've read it before, I knew it, but I went over it again and I sent the copy to the statute, the Texas government code on the CCPD funding. If you get in there and study that, everything that you're talking about in spirit is the way it's supposed to be. And they've got some fun. And what you're saying, Adrian, about the expending, they expending it.
Yeah.
Believe me, they put it. What happens is they're spending that. You got to know that CCPD money. They're spending $10 million on it's a. This is some wooden nickel tokenism that they got going on with this community funding program thing. This is just a wooden nickel thing that they're throwing out there for their purposes to pay off people that they need to brew up for the brouhaha. You know, all of that extra, the police department, you see them damn police, them every 3 years they get new cruisers, you see on there funded by CCPD. You'll see it. And all the SWAT cameras, that shit is being bought by the CCPD money. And all of the
– I mean, we get that part, Chris.
Yeah. But if you look at –
It's the contract, bro. It's the contract. It's the contract, baby.
Yeah.
They pouring land with and rerouting that money, bro. When Fitzgerald did that audit, he uncovered a lot of reallocated right. money that funded, that was funded through the CCPD. So it, the point is, it needs to be accountable. So we know how the game go. We ain't stupid on that part, but it needs to be an oversight committee for each dollar that is being spent. I mean, why isn't there some type of accountant that's micromanaging where this money is going? Where is that person?
It's all in that.
I mean, it's supposed to be.
It's
supposed to be Keith Burns. Hide the technical, Chris. They're going to do what they want to do because they're holding the book.
They're doing it because what you got, you said something that is really true. The CCPD board is the city council, and it ain't supposed to be
correct.
That way. They've got two options. The city council has like three ways. They can do what they do, but that's supposed to be a temporary thing to get it kick-started. It's a temporary. What they're supposed to do is they can either do it by appointing and approving by the city council. They'll
right.
have a nomination, and then they have that CCPD board, and they function independent, okay? And or
mm-hmm.
what they can do is they can there's actually a provision in the government code for the CCPD to be an elected office. Each district, they can actually have a citywide election every 1 or 2 years or something for the CCPD board members.
So is that
well,
something that we need
you.
To petition to get on the ballot? Can we petition to get on the ballot, Carrie? Anybody know?
I don't know the answer to that. But let me say this, y'all. We are looking for different names this year,
yes.
those who are the decision makers down there. We'd like to see a Kevin Spencer get funded this year. We'd like to see somebody who actually has got some experience with the streets, does not mind.
And a criminal judge.
Hold on, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We want to see a Kevin Spencer get funded this year. We want to see somebody who's not afraid to get out there in the street and make a difference. And I'm not knocking anybody who's already out there. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just talking about this specific young man and the fact that I feel like he has the ability to go and do something to get this crime rate down. Because literally this city is in a state of emergency. And
I came to them people before school let out and told them that.
Okay. Let me finish. But we need somebody who can help downtown figure out how to get this murder rate down in this city. And we can no longer wait for them to figure it out. That's why we're here tonight. We're trying to help you with some solutions downtown because we feel like a Kevin Spencer can do that. Malik, even you, we feel like you have answers to the street. But the city got to listen. The city cannot be in a position in which they don't, you know, listen to anybody. That's not the way you do it. We can't let y'all be in a learning curve for another 2 years and y'all don't have any solutions to fix it. We're giving you recommendations tonight as to other people that need to be on that list to be getting some of that money this time around. And applications, like I said, they begin accepting them today, July 7th. And I think that's going to run through July 2024.
It should run about a month, couldn't it?
No, it's a full year.
24.
Okay.
I agree with Malik and Chris about someone, but I really don't. I don't care about the board watching over the money. I just want to see these programs that's developed to get the money to show me some results. Damn, I don't care if you damn where the money going if you're giving me some results.
I'll agree with you right there, brother Kevin.
Show me where it's going to be a gang shooting and you cooled it down and everything all right. Shit, that's what I want to see. You know what I'm saying? I want to see those kind of things. I want to see you out there. Hey, kid, what's up? Hey, what's up, brother? You all right? Yeah, you know, us, that whoop-de-whoop-whoop program, we trying to – yeah, I want to see that. I'm not seeing that. When the groups first started, now, don't get me wrong. When they first started, I used to see them out there like that. I don't see them no more, Kerry. If you see them, Malik, let me know. Call me if I get
I haven't seen them, bro. Brother Kevin, I stay on the ground. We stay on the ground.
Last,
And Frank, Kevin, give my number before you get off of here, man. I need to rap a taste about your homie. About some other stuff, bro.
Okay,
bro. That right, no, this is real. This is serious, man.
I'll make my last
Chris, hold on.
Point for the night, and it's
Chris,
gonna be
Chris,
quick.
Hold on.
It's gonna be fast. Hey, Malik, if you want
to give this man my number, bro.
I'll go ahead. I'll just be quiet, man, because I ain't here to be.
Inbox, get a number, Malik. Inbox, get a number, Malik. Come on, Chris, let's hear it. Inbox, get a number, Malik. All right, Jeff, come on, Malik. Chris, let me hear it, baby. Don't worry, Chris.
So the real quick point that I want to make is what y'all was just talking about. What we have set up here, and it's a biblical thing, is we got the money changers running things, and what the CCBD fund has become, and the reason it ain't effective is because these ivory tower people that we got sitting up on that dais are using the CCPD fund to throw bags of silver at the sellouts in the community. That's my point.
Well, let me piggyback off that then. Let me piggyback off that. First of all, I don't think the CCPD funding should have anything to do with whether or not you speak out against downtown. I'm being told that people that get the money are contractually told that they can no longer speak out against the city. Where in the world does government funding put the stipulation on money? So I think whoever wrote that up, city attorney, I don't think that's a fair contract. I feel like why can't you get the money and still be able to have free speech? How does getting the money prevent you from having free speech about what goes on in this city? That's what you think right to me. But that's just my take. But you were saying what, Kevin? I'm sorry.
I totally agree with that, Chris. I agree that they're greasing a little palm, but hey, that's been going on for years. Mm-hmm. Us as individuals out here, us, the Malik, the Kevins, the Chris, the Carries, us, we have to stand firm and stand in our position and not let it waver us. I know that's what's happening. So what? Let's mm-hmm. just do what we're supposed to do. And like Carrie, like you said, I'm gonna speak whatever, because I'm not trying to look out these kids right now for no fun. So I'm gonna speak my mind. I'm gonna say that to God and on the moon. I'm my mind. So. I was at city council. My brother got killed in 93. I spoke in front of city council in 93. So I was 18. So I understand it. And man, I want to work with each and every one of y'all to try to bridge that gap. Not just with the community, but all over the world, man. We got to do better, man. And the only way we can do better, we got to make sure they know better. We got to know better to do better. So we got to continue to push that line, y'all.
And I'm going to say this, y'all.
So, Carrie,
it's some powerful minds on this call right now. But these are the minds that the city overlooks, because these are the minds that don't always agree with the powers that be. But I think the powers that be are not using wisdom, because I don't care if a monkey gives me a good idea. I take that idea from the monkey, because you know what? It's going to help me move forward. And I think that's what the city is not doing, in my opinion. They're not listening to
Carrie,
people.
Let me ask you this.
Are not insiders. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Why
Carrie,
don't they stream out those CCPD meetings? Why aren't they streaming out the CCPD meetings, y'all? Anybody got an answer to that? We see everything else. When it comes to that Tuesday meeting, are they Wednesday meeting, are they CCPD meeting they have every Tuesday? Why are we not seeing what they saying or what they talking about? Why they hiding that? And to me, that's something that needs to stop. And we need to be hard pressed, because you're not going to use our money then shut us out. And that's what's happening.
Right. Because it's a backroom Judas deal, just like the Pharisees giving the bag of silver to Judas. That's why I ain't putting it out.
You know your Bible.
Hey, Carrie,
boy, I like that. You know your Bible. Boy, I like that.
Hey, Carrie.
Go ahead.
Can Kelvin, no, real quick, I just, if you don't mind, this is a harmless plug. Kelvin, did you ever complete the book?
Yes, the book's been out. Everyone has it. You don't have it?
Yeah, tell them
no,
how to
no,
get
hey,
the book.
Hey, bro. brother. That's what I'm proud of, but I need to know.
Yeah, I got it. Inbox me. I got a few here. Inbox me, man. I got you.
But no. Okay, Kevin, brother.
The book name is the
Kevin Spencer story. What really went on in Operation Fishbowl. It's available on Amazon, and you guys go get it. If not, hit me up after this, and I'll give you all the information. It's available on Amazon right now. The Kevin Spencer story.
Okay,
what really went on in Operation Fishbowl.
All right, y'all. Yeah, so we gotta get ready to get out here.
Hey, make sure, because I looked it up, make sure people don't get confused with the Tegan Broadwater version.
Right.
That's why they got to put the
good
special story. Kevin Spencer story. I'm looking forward to meeting with old Tegan with all the lies he put in that book, but I'm looking forward to meeting those guys.
Y'all, listen, we got to get ready to get out of here. Kevin, give us final words before we let you go tonight.
Okay, I want, number one, to thank you, Carrie, and everyone that was on the call today, man. It was a blessing, man, and just y'all continue to keep striving, man. I'm on the book. If you need me, inbox me. If I can help you in or out of any situation, man, get at me. Like I know, like I said, I don't do this. I do this for a cause, not just because. And you know, I'm just gonna be me, and I'm here, and I'm original. Y'all holler at me.
Y'all heard it here. I'm thanking Kevin Spencer for coming by tonight because I think he really shed a different light on what's going on out here in the streets, and I believe that he has some solutions. I want to thank you, the audience, for listening. Tell a friend to check out the show. We're technically the hottest show on Friday night, talking about what's going on in the city of Fort Worth. Also, follow us on Facebook. We're under Let's Talk Fort Worth on Facebook. Also, if you have a business, a product, a service, or a nonprofit, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. You can drop me an email at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, if you like what we do here, consider donating to the show. It's our listeners that keep us afloat because we do this out of love for our city. Also, y'all, don't forget, we still want to hear your news tip. If you know something that's going on in your city, we want to hear about it. We are always listening. So keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what's going on downtown. All right, y'all, until next Friday, good night.